You're listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network. You know, it's difficult to post about this movie. Because you always feel awkward writing about it. You're just like, I'm making a post about the post? That's like, I feel like it's so meta.
So then just say, like, I'm writing this entry.
No. See, nobody says that. Nobody says I'm writing this entry. Not since LiveJournal.
Oh, God, LiveJournal.
Yeah.
And LiveJournal, like, LiveJournal and Zynga and all that stuff. It's going to serve as such this, like, unintended archive for so many people.
Yeah.
Because that stuff lives somewhere. Like, even if it gets taken
everybody's
down...
Everybody's MySpace page is somewhere.
Yeah, like... Yeah, so, like, you
I can't log back into my old MySpace page. It's still up there, and I'm like, fuck, what was my password? I've tried so many different things. I'm like, I have no idea what my password was. I can't get into my own, because the email connected to it no longer exists, so it's like, oh, well. My LiveJournal, on the other hand, I still write on occasionally.
Are you a maker of the Venture Brothers?
No, I'm one of those people who paid $100 for a lifetime membership with all the bonus stuff way back in the day. So I'm like, I feel like I got to go back every once in a while and write something. And then it's people who are like, I don't understand. Are you polyamorous or a musician? Why are you on here? Anyway, yes, that has nothing to do with this film. The Post... This year, Steven Spielberg's entry into Give Me an all the Academy Awards race, as it were, one of his serious Spielberg films, because the not serious Spielberg film is coming up in like a month or two, I guess.
March.
The Ready Player One.
Wasn't his last movie before this? Was it Bridge of Spies or BFG?
I think it was BFG.
So he's going back and forth. So he's currently.
I see what you're saying. Like, this is definitely a serious movie, but it almost feels like, watching this movie, he's moved past I don't think he cares about awards at this point. I think he just, like, it doesn't feel like they're stretching themselves in this movie. It just sort of feels like, hey, we're going to make a movie, we're going to have a really good cast, a really good script, and we're going to make a solid, well-put-together movie. Mm-hmm. But, you know, talking about this movie, it's like, it doesn't stretch itself at all.
So, of course, you're Spielberg, you're trying to do an Oscar film, you're like, okay, fuck you, I am going to the armory for this one. I want some awards. So I'm pulling out my AK-40 Meryl Streep, okay? I'm bringing my tank buster missile Tom Hanks, and fuck all you guys, and all the awards.
And don't forget Bob Odenkirk and David Cross.
Dude, so weird watching Mr. Show in this movie.
Like, who literally... like, I had to remind myself it was him, like, three or four times.
Yeah, a little bit miscast. Like,
how about our boy Pat Healy?
Friend Pat Healy has a brief, small appearance.
And then Bradley Whitford's in it. Yeah. But, like, watching...
couldn't be more comfortable. It's like, not an old pair of shoes.
Yeah. Whitford, right? Like, I just kept on, like, looking at him like, I don't trust you, sir. You're going to try to replace me, aren't you?
This is based on the story of the release of the Pentagon Papers, which was in the early 70s. It was funny because I remember Richard Whitaker was bitching about the trailer for this because he's like, the New York Times are the ones who broke this story. And I was watching this going, yeah, and the movie fully acknowledges that. It's about the more interesting shit that happened after that with the Washington
Post. You mean
Post.
He went off on a pedantic side?
Yes, he did.
Huh,
yes,
wow.
He did. But it was about the involvement of the United States government during the Vietnam War, where basically they knew there was no way we were going to win this thing way beforehand when they kept committing troops and everything else to it. It was very damning information, and there was a fuck ton of it out there. And basically, the New York Times got sent by somebody who you know, was working in the facility who shouldn't have, took pictures of all this, like, you know, what, like 90 volumes of the goddamn thing, and like, sent
right
some of it to the New York Times.
Like Johnny Cash, he got it one piece at a time. Over the course of a few years.
And they published what they had, and then there was so much more. The Washington Post is like, we want in on this, but there was famously an injunction against the New York Times going, if you publish anything else on this, we are going to sue you. We're going to shut you down, from the United States government, which was unheard of. I mean, the news is protected by the Constitution of the United States. There's a reason why you're not really supposed to, the government's not supposed to tell the news journalists, what, the Fourth Estate, you can't do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So this was a major turning point in history of that decision of the Washington Post when they got the rest of it handed to them because the New York Times stood down.
Yeah.
It was like, are we going to publish this? Are we going to take this? Are we going to challenge the federal government on this subject? So it's definitely a fascinating time in history. Meryl Streep plays the publisher of the paper who had indeed inherited the position mm-hmm. from her husband who had committed suicide, which, Jesus, running the Washington Post, I can't really blame him.
Yeah.
and, like, no one was terribly confident in her abilities. Now, let's be clear, the Washington Post at this point in time was not considered a major journalistic news outlet. It was certainly not considered on a New York Times
level. Well, the sense mm-hmm. I get is that this is what sort of put them there.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. It was. Yeah. It absolutely was. And then Tom Hanks plays the editor of the paper, Ben Bradley. I actually just got to hear both of, they had recordings they brought out of their archives on NPR of interviews with both of them just recently. And I was like, wow, that's really interesting, especially because you would never guess that both Streep and Hanks are doing a pretty dead-on imitation of the way their voices sounded.
Yeah.
Well, I'm surprised about him. I mean, she's known for her accent.
Yeah, she... degree,
but I think that Tom Hanks would really only do, like, a variation on Tom Hanks.
He's as great an actor as he is. Yeah. He's not so good with the accent.
He just added a little bit of a growl, which is all it was there.
Yeah,
really. But it's about this struggle, and it's filled with, like, recognizable, like, awesome actors like Sarah Paulson, who I think, I guarantee you, 10 years from now, people will be like saying she's the new Meryl Streep.
Yeah.
I'm calling it right now. She's that good. Bob Odenkirk, who has been moving slowly from comedy to doing more like drama.
He's so good in this.
He's proven he's really good. Tracy Letts, Bradley Whitford, Bruce Greenwood, Carrie Coon, who had one hell of a year in television.
Mm.
Matthew Rhys, Alison Brie.
All she gets into all the period pieces, like Mad Men.
She does. Jesse Plemons, or as we like to call him, Meth Damon. David Cross, Pat Haley, Michael Stuhlbarg, who I think might even come home with the Best Supporting Actor award this year. Not for this movie.
Plugging him in.
He had a busy year.
Who's the guy that was in... wasn't the guy from Americans in this?
The Americans?
Matthew Rhys.
Oh, Matthew Rhys.
Yeah. He's also really good in it.
Here's the thing. We could go on about, you know, this movie is well put together. It's a well-done movie, great acting. But almost, I feel like I'm a teacher or an evaluator, and I have a, you know, if I have an Adam Sandler student, I'm going to be very happy if they give me a D movie.
Yeah.
If I have a Steven Spielberg with Meryl Streep, Tom Hanks, Bob Odenkirk.
It should be better.
It's not even better. They should swing for the fences.
That's a good way
of putting it. And
they're not. Yeah. Because all throughout, I was watching it, I kept thinking, I was like, man, All the President's Men, much better movie. Spotlight, much better movie than this. Like, oh, why isn't this
so
working? Yeah.
And it's like, it's not working because it's not competent. It's working because they're not trying.
Right.
This is a movie that's less than the sum of its parts.
Really? Yes.
I don't think anybody was like sort of phoning it in.
No. Here's
the thing is, everybody separately is giving it their all.
Yeah.
It just, for the whole first hour and 15, 20 minutes of this film, you're like, okay, so what are we watching here? When is something going to happen that makes all this feel like relevant or have any sense of velocity or emotion?
And here's the thing, like you talk about Spotlight. There's a moment in Spotlight around the end of the second act when things really ratchet up, where there's this scene where you discover just how rampant the abuse in Boston is.
Oh, yeah.
And the way they film that scene, the way they lead up to that scene, crystallizes that entire movie. And if you have something this relevant today, and you are Spielberg, and you have the ability to do that, I feel like he's just sort of not phoning it in, but definitely not stretching himself.
Yeah.
Like, it felt like I was watching Bridge of Spies 2.
Okay.
Yeah. Like, and Bridge of Spies I loved.
I actually like Bridge of Spies better than this.
No, I do too, but it's like Tom Hanks once again is at the U.S. Supreme Court.
Yeah.
Awesome to watch. It is December. I'm watching Tom Hanks again at the Supreme Court.
Yeah. He's Jimmy Stewarting his way all the way.
Yeah.
And I expect them to stretch themselves more. And you want to talk about the thing that was so important about these Pentagon Papers is the human toll it took on just the Americans. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you had the draft. They try a little bit. Like, there's a paralegal at the end of the movie when they're in the Supreme Court who stops Meryl Streep's character and says, well, my brother's still over there. You could do something. Stretch yourself. Show me some cutaways of people dying or some human toll. And look, this isn't me criticizing the movie for what it isn't. It's me criticizing the movie for what it didn't have the will to be.
Yeah. But then I think it's also going to be like shining a spotlight on too many things, and that'll make it like,
you know, again, less stretch.
But that'll make it a lesser movie, I think, if they try to do too much.
I don't think it would have. Elliot makes a good point in that. In the spotlight, when it even before what he's talking about, when they just start talking in depth about what it was that the priests were doing, that's like shocking. And there was never a moment here shocking. It's about as shocking as going up to you, hey man, you'll never guess this, but the government lying to us.
Yeah, it's like we already know that story. Like, you're not telling me anything I don't know, so you need to present it in a way that connects me to it more.
Yeah.
Well, it's apples and oranges, though. I mean, different levels of shocking, isn't it?
So, obviously, you found this more exciting than we did.
I did. I like that. I don't see them as not trusting themselves. I think that shows them really at the top of their game. You know, it's hard to describe it.
Do you mean as actors? Because I think as actors, everybody was great. Well, I think
no one's going to say that didn't give their all in terms of acting. But I loved how this felt like a Steven Spielberg movie, you know, in terms of the angles, in terms of, you know, he sort of gave you that sort of like energy about being in the newspaper business and sort of that hunger and the devotion it requires and is demanding of. But at the same time, I don't know, it sort of felt suspenseful to me in a way. And,
there definitely was suspense. And like the part where, one of the things that's so interesting to watch is if you have a background of any kind of like understanding of politics, you hear, you know, the deputy district attorney at the time, William Rehnquist, on the phone. Well, he turns out to be the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court for 30 fucking years. And it gives you a context to view prison, to view history through. And I think this is a good movie. Don't get me wrong. It had the potential to be a classic.
It's just that for so much of it, it's just so dry. It can't find its footing. It's just like, okay, so where's the... the movie needed to go find some boards by the side of the road to put under the tires to get started for a while. It was just kind of sitting there spinning its wheels for a good hour. And I'm like, there is no reason for this to take this long to get to where it needs to go.
Exactly.
There's no reason.
And then, like...
But once it does, I will not criticize the second, you know, the half, not quite half, a little less than half of the film. Once it starts going, deeply tense and very exciting. But wow, does it take forever? And there's so many characters you're like, was it really important to include them in this or know things about them at all?
It is a little bit bloated in terms of the cast, I will say. They could have trimmed a lot of the side characters.
Which would have lost a good 20, 30 minutes from the running time if they had done that with people who... Like, I get you're trying to make this super realistic movie, but nobody expects a Hollywood movie to be dead on.
I didn't even notice how long
it's less than 2 hours.
Yeah, it's less than 2 hours, but it feels longer.
You can feel the time. It's like and I'm not trying to get into this, like, Jesus. I posted a very innocuous thing about Last Jedi on my Facebook wall.
Oh, boy.
It was not innocuous. Like, how dare you enjoy it?
I know, you actually had one of the longest series of comments.
Pretty much. It was like, people came out of the fucking woodwork to be like, oh, I didn't like this. Motherfucker, I didn't say it was great. I said I like it.
Yeah.
But watching Last Jedi, there was a part where I was aware of how long it was. If you can be in a movie, especially even at home, and you are aware that it's running, it is doing something wrong. And that's not a hard and fast rule, but that's just a guideline more than anything else. Yeah. But one of the things that they sort of tried to they shifted focus, and I feel like it was maybe added in because of the times we're in, which is not a bad thing. But they had this sub theme of Meryl Streep as a woman and how she's being viewed, and they tried to touch on that, and they could have taken some of that time in the bloat and gone into that a little bit more, because that was interesting seeing that dichotomy. And then they tried the one flaw I can put in this movie that's not me saying I wish they had stretched is the very end when they're walking out of the Supreme Court, they go for this feeling that they have not earned, where Meryl Streep is walking past the press and there's this group of women and they're looking at her in adoration.
It just felt like propaganda
because, you know, she,
as far as you see in the movie, it feels like, well, she kind of like only did this very reluctantly and everyone was like, this is the right thing to do, and she's like, well, I don't know, and then last minute it's like, okay, fine, fuck it, whatever, and then like, oh, you're the hero, you're like, wait, what?
That is really the only false moment for me in the whole thing. But, you know, I don't know. I think it got wrapped up in it because of its timeliness. Really?
Well, yeah, there is and, that for yeah. sure.
You know.
I mean, it's more affecting, I think, because of a well-chosen time of
life. Well, it's funny. Like, my wife, she actually studied journalism in college, and she was going to be a journalist, but she ended up switching careers. She actually had a bigger problem with this movie than me because she kept on rolling her eyes at the movie.
Oh,
as a like yeah. as somebody, she's like, "Oh, this is propaganda."
They do that. The journalists do that whenever they see a journalism movie. It's like,
what do you think of Spotlight?
She loves Spotlight.
Okay, so that's not a propaganda movie.
Yeah, she just was like, we were watching, and she's like, "Oh, are the journalists heroes? Are they really?" And it's just like, because I think she viewed it more as they're doing a job.
Look, I don't mind a little bit of, like, journalism flag waving because I am, especially right now when maybe yeah. we need it.
Yeah.
but this doesn't do a really good job of it, you know?
It comes closer than the newsroom came. Like, I feel like this is what they wanted the newsroom to be.
I love the newsroom myself.
Yeah. I like the newsroom as well. Yeah.
I still think that speech in the first episode is one of the single greatest moments in television
It's
history.
The best part of the newsroom, yes.
But I do love that, you know, it does touch on the subject. You know, what's that line that, and I saw, like, way...
Democracy dies in the darkness?
No, it's that one that, you know, the newspapers were meant to be for the governed, not the governors.
Yeah,
yeah.
And
yeah.
I think that's from the Supreme Court decision, yeah.
Yeah, and that's just so... That's, I mean, that just hammers it home for me.
Clearly, Elliot was the right guy to have on this review. He's pulling out all the...
I just remember reading this back in 2000. I remember reading the opinion back in 2006.
But yeah, that's, I think, exactly what I just said.
Instead of wants to play launch, you're...
Well, just giving that context, like... The Supreme Court before, like, right before, like, 75, 77, somewhere around there, was really liberal. So, like, if they had brought this up with the Rehnquist Court, would have been totally different.
Right, right.
Like, because, and that's the thing that's interesting watching movies like this. It really reminds you that law is just like almost anything else, where you can talk about procedure and what the statute says and what the cases say, but when it gets to that big of a question, it shifts completely to a political question.
Mm-hmm.
And it's fun, and especially, I wish they had, and this is more about what I wish they had done. I wish they had focused more on, it seems like each generation has a gut check of what do we want our democracy to be. And we're going through that now, because sometimes we fail that lesson.
Yeah.
Sometimes we succeed. Luckily in the 70s, we succeeded because a democracy easily can turn into a dictatorship.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Extremely easy, but it's up to
and
those
then the right wing just went, oh, interesting. Yeah. Okay, time to change to the long con.
Yeah. Well, that's what the devaluing of the news, and like, I really feel like they, you know, back they saw what happened with the Pentagon Papers, and they're like, so what you're saying is we need our own news arm.
Yeah.
And then you had talk radio, well, like, then you had Fox News.
The problem is the people are really well educated in our country.
Yeah.
We didn't bank on that.
We need to get somebody in there like an old movie actor who will like amiably convince everyone we should stop giving money to make kids smart.
Yeah. It's like, it just sort of, they should have, especially with everything's going on now, like they say collusion once in the movie and it's a very obvious call out. They really should have focused less on these journalists are so courageous and the right to publish, and more on, and again, this is just my, you know, what I wish they had done, and more on the value of the publishing and
sure
why it's so important. Like, I would have loved it if they would have had, like, more of a courtroom drama at the end instead of just, here's the case, we're going to show a minute. It didn't even last that long. And it was weird because I was watching the guy from Friday Night Lights, who's apparently a big actor now, and I'm like, you're a baby.
Wait, Taylor Kitsch isn't in this.
Jesse Plemons.
I didn't even know he was on Friday Night. Yeah,
that was the thing for me. I'm like, you are so young, and you're arguing for the Supreme Court.
The first time I ever saw him.
Congratulations,
Breaking Bad. So I don't know.
I didn't like really how they. It's almost like the film tries to paint him as like the sort of like the heavy.
Yeah,
in a way, and it's hard to paint someone the heavy when they're kind of making sense.
Well, it's like that. Likely they paid, but here's the thing: that's often what it's like for the lawyer in an office, whatever you're doing, because they think you're the enemy, and you're just like. Cause I have a few friends that work as a counsel for like big businesses, and they're like, "Look, I'm just trying to keep you from being sued. Like, if you hate me, you're gonna hate them." And so he's like, "The injunction says these." you know, are any of their sources.
No, we only hate you guys when, even though you're maybe making sense and fighting for us because of how much you charge. That's it.
We do charge a lot.
You charge way more than you should in a democracy. I'm just going to call right
hey, there. Hey, this is not to sound defensive, but my entire career has been to correct that so far.
I know. You are not one of those people. That is very true. Anyway, let's go to final thoughts. We're already at like 17 minutes, and JC, lead us out. I'm sorry, we all kind of handed the mic over to Elliot.
Sorry, I didn't mean to.
No, because you were giving like super interesting information on it.
That was good.
That's why we were like, yeah, keep going.
I think we kind of, I mean, at least Ellie and I seem to sort of be similar. Our thoughts seem to be similar on this and that. This could have swung for the fences. I think for what should be a shocking thing at this point in history, the government lying to the people about a very dangerous and expensive war just didn't come off as shocking enough. Not for me anyways, especially when you compare it to movies like Spotlight recently and the as classic as All the President's Men is.
I was going to say, even All the President's Men, yeah.
So I think in that sense, it's not as good as it could be. The great, amazing cast, this movie is less than the sum of its parts, which doesn't happen a whole lot. I think it just happens sometimes. I don't think you necessarily have to blame it on Steven Spielberg failing. It's not that this is a bad movie. It's just not as good as it could have been. I still think there's a lot of stuff for people to enjoy here. I think if you're a fan of any of these actors, I think they all turn in great performances. So it's at least good for that. At less than 2 hours, it's not terribly long. So there's definitely worse ways you can spend a couple of hours watching a movie. And this is an interesting-ish topic, very relevant today, so I still think people should check it out, whether or not. And you may like it more than me and Elliot did, and for that reason, I'd probably give it 6.5 out of 10 times that Trump will call this movie fake news.
Fake movie.
Yeah. Frank, what about you?
I didn't think I was going into this movie expecting to be shocked only because, unlike Spotlight, I mean, this is something that has been happening, I feel, in my entire lifetime, basically. But I do feel it's interesting that they started production on this movie back in March. Like, this is made, like, on the fly, which is right. Pretty good if you think about it.
Yeah.
But the screenwriter wrote it in September. And she wrote it with the mindset...
This September?
Yeah. No, this past September. No, this past... Yeah.
Holy shit.
Yeah, like a year ago.
Well, a year ago, September.
Oh.
Not... Yeah. No. You're like, Jesus.
They shot it and
you're
then
like, but wait, they shot, started shooting it in March and she didn't write it?
Yeah, it's like, did they have a TARDIS?
No, so September 2016 is when this movie was written. And it was written with the perspective that Hillary was going to be our next president.
Oh.
And then so when they read it in February, well, it became a different movie.
Right.
And so I want to go... I didn't find this out until later. So I want to go and see it again. But with that mindset. But for me, I think it... You know, it is... It's accidentally timely. And that's what makes it, for me, a little bit more special. Like, it wasn't trying to purposely be like... You know, what it... You know, like...
It wasn't preachy.
Yeah, exactly. But for me, this feels like what... Almost like what... what else we just watched tonight?
All the Money in the World.
This is what that was trying to be in terms of very populist, but also sort of like be relevant and make a point and have pathos and, you know, say, hey, you know, freedom of the press is important. You know, we have a history of not being bullied and it's important that we continue to not be bullied and, you know, standing up for what's right and the whole shebang. It's also very well made and everyone's great in it. So... You know, I don't really have any problems with this because it's everybody doing what I want them to do and the way I want them to do it and what I expect them to do. So for that, I got to give this about 8.5 out of 10 newspaper presses. By the way, this movie really gives you like an appreciation and a nostalgia for physical media.
Yeah.
You know?
It will really want you to feel that, that's for sure.
It worked for me.
Yeah. I'm more fascinated than I thought I would be about the process of, like, actually making it.
Making it.
Yeah.
Those metal blocks.
And,
yeah.
Elliot?
I know I had a bunch of complaints about this movie, but it's like if this was a house, this would be a very well put together craftsman house. Nothing's wrong with it.
KB Home?
No, not even a caveman. I'm talking about like a craftsman in like Portland with a bunch of good trees in the background and like it's in a good neighborhood. This is a good movie. I give it, I mean, I'm going to talk a little bit more, but I give it 8 out of 10 headlines.
Okay.
I feel like there's a lot of potential left on the floor.
Okay.
And I just wanted them to pick it up and not bury the lead and let me see it. Like, give me something to really hold on to.
This movie did totally bury the lead.
Yeah.
That is the way I would describe it.
It's just like, get it, like, this is the type of movie that if they hit it right, could have been something that I held on to for years. As it is, I will definitely be buying this movie on Blu-ray, don't get me wrong. But it's not going to be something I really watch from time to time. Like, I watch Spotlight once every 6 months.
Oh, it's a great movie.
Like, it just because, like,
I can't imagine it, that, but for me, like, in, like, for that, you know, it's almost Requiem for a Dream level Spotlight in its way.
Yeah,
you're just like, oh, fuck, the way you feel sick to your stomach and upset watching it. I'm like, I can't imagine watching that often.
Can I ask you, do you think you'll like this movie more when you see it? More times you see it?
You know, I think I probably will, because there was something really infectious about Tom Hanks and Meryl Streep's performances. There's something so genuine, and there's a scene in the very beginning where they're having a breakfast, and just how they play the gender dynamics that used to be in place so effortlessly, but so honestly, to where she's his boss.
Mm-hmm.
And he just shuts her down at one point, and she has to defer and then redirect to him, but can't just openly challenge as a man would.
Mm. Well, it's interesting. There are gender dynamics at play here for sure between their relationship, but I feel like it's so trying hard to be realistic to what was actually happening that it forgets to be satisfying to watch in a modern context, you know? Because at the end, like we were saying, watching her is very unsatisfying, ultimately, as it like felt like the movie is trying too hard to get to that payoff that it never feels like it really earns.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, that's the one.
Even
though
when you look at her whole career, she deserves massive kudos for her whole career. I'm not sure how much of that was deeply accurate with what happened here with her, like, last minute, like, oh, okay, fine, whatever. But but either way, I don't know, man. Doesn't it feel like this is the movie, like, this should be something that all of America sees it and gets fired up out of the theater, and it feels like a waste.
But this is like, what he said is that it was made thinking Hillary would be in charge.
Yeah.
If they had known Trump was going to win, probably would have written a much different movie, a lot stronger. So they may have punched up a few scenes, but you can't structurally change things that much. I'd say one of the things that was really great is they did not cast a Nixon.
Yeah.
Nixon was enough of a monster on his own. We're going to let his words speak for him.
Yeah, even though there's like powerful. A weird little postscript to the film that's like you expected Thanos was going to break into the White
like,
House.
I'll do it myself.
Into the Watergate. They were like, oh, next week on The Post.
Yeah.
I would watch a sequel. Like, here's the thing. I would love a sequel where they swung for the fences and just covered Watergate.
The way that they shoot that final scene, that's the way it's sort of shot in All the President's Men. So it like rolls right into All the President's Men.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like I said, I feel like the biggest problem with this movie is, God damn, this should have been so much better than it is. It's really important right now. And yeah, maybe the problem is they did shoot this for a Hillary win, but what they ended up with was a film that felt ultimately kind of ineffectual. I'm like, I get what you're going for, but at the end, I just felt like I was getting a history lesson for about 70% of it. That last 30% was pretty damn solid and got me excited. I was like, okay, now you've got me. But that's way too long for the movie to get me to that point. This is a really interesting period of time, and we spent way too much time at people's dinner parties, quite frankly. There's a lot of, like I'm supposed to feel like these people and the rich fucking white assholes wandering around D.C.? Fuck that. There's a lot that's really hard to connect with the people who need to connect with this movie, because this movie feels like it's made for rich white liberals. You know, and
it doesn't talk about the people who are at war wrongly.
Yeah, what the hell do you need to convince them of?
It's like I broke the law, but don't tell on me.
Yeah,
we're friends.
I don't know. I was very mixed on this thing. If you would ask me at the hour mark, I would have given this 5 out of 10. I was so irritated with it and the way it was just meandering. But if you ask me at the end, I'll give it a 7.5 out of 10. Arrogant Tom Hanks smirks.
Which, yeah, they abound.
There's a few of them.
Well, he has reason to be arrogant.
He does indeed.